We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a drive to left field. If it's high enough, it's gone. And it's gone! Grand slam for Trevor Story. His fourth home run in two nights. And it's 4-0 Red Sox.
Oh, is he fired up as he crosses the home plate?
There we go. Will and Joe on the call on your Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Network. Brad Post with us.
What a week for those guys, huh? Their brands have never been hotter with an English-speaking interview with Rafi Devers.
Oh, my God.
That was a great interview. That was a great,
great
job.
Great interview. Got a lot
Excellent.
Of applause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Joe's Spanish was a little... subpar. Maybe it needs a little tweaking.
You speak any other languages, Curtis?
I used to speak Spanish fluently, but
really?
I no longer
really?
Can.
He just left you?
Yeah. Well, I lived in England, and I was the only one that took Spanish. There was 10 people in my grade, so I had one-on-one Spanish for 2 years.
Mm.
And then I went to Spain.
After the show, can you run down the clubhouse and conduct the interview with
Devers,
please?
I'll say, Buenos dias, Rafael. ¿Qué pasa?
Now, pretty good week, Bradfo. I have overreacted to a couple wins already this year, so I'm a little gun-shy. But it does feel like something has turned this week, correct?
Correct, yes.
And what is it? Just Trevor Story. That's enough.
I said it was not, as I said on the Gresh and Keefe show earlier, non-negotiable that Trevor Story had to hit. He was the straw that stirred the drink. And sure enough, here we are. It makes everything better, right? I mean, you pay that
much. Well, not the bullpen. But the bullpen actually, even last night, they're pretty good.
You're figuring it out. You're figuring out the bullpen as you go, and it sure helps when you don't need to pitch the bullpen. When
right.
You have
Hauk
complete
can come in.
Yeah. Hey, Hauk or Pivetta pitching the complete. I mean, the bullpen, unfortunately, was a work in progress, continues to be a work in progress. You didn't pay the money for the guy who you say, okay, you know what? That's our Jonathan Papelbon. That's our Koji. That's our whoever, which I still think should be a thing. Like, this drives me nuts. In this day and age of baseball, saying we're going to have, you know, pockets here, pockets there, that's fine. But find the guy who you know is going to get the last 3 to 6 outs. That's the guy. Sometimes you just – and you can find that guy maybe in June. Maybe they have that guy. But they didn't have it when they were going bad.
Right.
And that's my problem with how everything unfolded.
Hmm. Yeah, and my thing here with this season, as we are at the quarter pole of the baseball year.
KJ says 27 games at a time.
Well, I mean, who can argue with that, Matt?
On Freakness Day, I think the quarter pole means a quarter of the season left. You can't say the quarter pole. I think that's Mutt,
okay.
Mutt would rip you for that.
All right, Mutt. Apologize. So we're 25% of the way through the year.
Yep, correct.
And if I could place a bet somewhere that the Yankees will not reach the World Series, I would do it right now. They are the classic Mariners, not the old 90s Yankees. You're looking at a team that is going to score a million runs. They have all the superstars. And then Aaron Boone will tighten up in the playoffs. That team will lose. They will not reach the World Series.
I hope you're right, but I saw Nestor Cortez pitch in Chicago, and he, with that mustache, is unbelievable
He was seduced by Nestor Cortez.
He was amazing. The guy is legit.
I think that was the 16 beers you had pregame. No, he's great. I mean, but how many – I mean, yeah, he could be great. He could be unbelievable, or he could have an oblique strain tomorrow.
So. I want to break this down. First of all, you can get in your car after the show, drive up to the Walmart parking lot in Nashua, and place that bet
what
you're talking about.
Yes.
Right? Correct? So, and then the other thing, yeah, I don't disagree with it. And to go back to what you were talking about, Ken, about the Red Sox, Yeah, listen, there's like 18 wild cards now. I mean, they are good enough to enter into the equation. The Blue Jays are dwindling. You're figuring some things out. So, yeah, I mean, it could happen, and you get in the playoffs. I don't know if you know this. Put it on the bumper stickers. Anything can happen in the postseason.
Well, that's because baseball isn't boring.
Baseball is not.
Hey, Curtis got his new shirt.
I got a great new shirt. And, this team right now, what they did this week is they began the ability to salvage the season in that they are not going to have the Bogarts trade talks still ongoing. They're going to be a team. They needed to get to 500, I think, before mid-June, which seems like a likely goal or an attainable goal right
now.
Can
we talk about, like, actually being in the park here? Because, baseball isn't boring, but the team was boring for the first month and a half. Let's just call it what it is. When you have
There was enough drama.
I'm talking about on the field. Off the field, no. Absolutely, you had the contract drama and everything else. But when you have bullpens blowing leads and nobody hitting the ball, that doesn't lend itself to excitement at Fenway Park. Now we get here, and this past week, one of the things that you can say is that the atmosphere is coming back. You know, obviously it's summer. People are feeling better about things, about coming out to Fenway Park. And is this the Club Fenway dynamic, which we kept saying the last year, oh my goodness, the demographic has changed. It's so enthusiastic. We hadn't seen that until really, you know, this past week. And now you have the Trevor, as Joe pointed out and articulated so well, you have the Trevor Story celebration. You have that. You have Johnny Gomes. Johnny Gomes in left field.
That was a plant if I've ever seen one.
Well executed then.
So what was the behind the scenes story there?
Is he like that guy in Office Space that they just never kicked out, but they stopped paying him?
Oh, Milton?
Yeah.
He's right place, right time. The guy is, he almost died. I mean, did you see him lunge after the ball?
Yeah.
It would be the sixth time he almost died.
Would that be a killed in action, or would that be?
Maybe. Johnny Gomes breaks another record that will never be broken. Yes.
What's that?
Catching a ball in front of the monster and behind the monster.
I mean,
wait till Hanley gets monster.
How has Flutie not done that? He brings a glove every game.
Who gave him those tickets? Those are Nesson tickets?
Well, I don't know.
Why don't we have monster tickets? God, I got to work on that. Those must be Nesson tickets.
Why do you say that? Maybe WEI. Just say WEI gave him the tickets.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Come on.
Wait, come on.
Well, because then if he says that, Wiggy's going to say, why aren't my family on the monster today?
Wiggy going was six strong today behind the plate, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wiggy will be the whole Wiggy family.
I would have loved to see Wiggy in that position that Gomes was in about what he would have done. Do you think Wiggy would have dove under the desk?
Definitely pulled his shirt up.
Oh, totally. He would have been, he would not have pulled his shirt up. Mike, can I just have a brief complaint? I love everything about where I work. Unless you ask for tickets, they're never offered to you. I feel like it should be like, hey, Chris, would you like to go to a baseball game? Sure, maybe, maybe not. But like Wiggy like calls in his medal. He has his like agent come in and bang on Ken's door to get free tickets.
You think I should be going around offering you tickets randomly?
Yeah, I think that'd be a sweet thing.
See, Curtis, come over to my corner of the world because I just give you t-shirts.
Right.
You don't ask for t-shirts.
I mean,
I just clothe you.
You just give. You give cakes and apparel.
I brought you Diet Coke today.
Ken,
God.
I love you. I'm just giving you a hard time. God in heaven.
Everything
so
is
sensitive.
A complaint. It is awful being a manager. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
It is absolutely awful.
I could have told you that, Ken.
I've started to hate you both. I mean,
what did I do to you?
We had a phone call a couple weeks ago I didn't want to get into, which you remember well.
No, I don't. There's a lot of phone calls I complain about a lot of stuff to you.
God,
so.
It is just, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Let me just say that as a manager of this operation. 617-779-2019.
You witnessed Zarbano. How many times did you and I say, oh my God, there but the grace of God go I, looking at what Zarbano was dealing with?
I know. Believe me. I regret it daily.
Can we come back to like the demographic of Fenway Park?
Yes.
About like the
it's starting to bust loose, you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean this is what we liked about the baseball season last year. Yeah, you know, it's a lot easier to talk about, a lot easier to write about, everything's easier when your team's interesting and you win. But the thing that jumped out throughout the course of last year was people pouring beer on their face. In celebrations.
Yes.
And people twerking up on the Jumbotron.
And you don't want to do that unless it's the playoffs when it's cool out or when the team's not performing. You kind of look like an idiot who has to change his shirt. So now when the team's winning and it's a fun night out, boom.
I'll come back to it. Like, it was trending in the wrong direction. This was not working out where you have the Celtics run. And, when it creeps closer to the Patriots season, you got to hit the ground running with the Red Sox. You really got to have something established.
I have a feeling this fall is going to be pretty heavy Red Sox.
Are you taking? Remember what I said last year? October 4th, I said the Red Sox would take over the town.
They did.
And right after the Brady game.
Yeah, after the highest rated pregame show ever. We were at the Social Sporting Club at Omni. We had the big Sunday night game for Brady. After that, boom, Sox took over.
Yeah. So you think the Patriots are going to take a downturn in terms of interest?
Yeah, I just think that there is not the feeling among the average Patriots fan that this is a contending team in any way right now.
But when the team is rolling, or not even rolling, but let's say a playoff team, the Patriots are still, it's like they're rolling out of bed. They don't even have to try. The interest is, boom, there it is.
Well, yeah, but it's for one afternoon, for 3 hours, they'll do a 30 share.
Here's a better question, is that for the Red Sox, when the Red Sox are rolling, like say like last year, I mean, they went to the ALCS, and the Celtics are now in the equivalent of the ALCS. Which team is getting more buzz? Which team got the city more excited? Or is it just different fan bases, different crowds, different conversations?
Well, like, I think that right now with the Celtics, there is a legitimate interest intensity in the coverage, the pre, the post, win or lose, what comments are made. I think with the Patriots, the most interesting element of their organization next fall will be the around the team type of things. The Belichick interview with us in the morning on Monday, the what they say post game. Who's the offensive coordinator? I think that type of stuff is going to draw interest, but the actual interest on the field in terms of the things that you said were interesting for the Red Sox, which would have been if they kept sucking, the team wouldn't be interesting,
sure.
But you talk about Bogarts, do you trade him, do you not? I think with the Patriots in the fall, there is not going to be that like, oh crap, we stink, because I think people already think they're an 500 team at best next year, roughly, give or take a win.
I still think the Celtics dynamic, that conversation, is the house money conversation. It is. After that first game against the Heat, you already got that sense. There wasn't like this anger, this vitriol.
No,
it was still, no matter what happens with the Celtics.
Not now. Not now.
People have
declared this series
dead. This is still house money territory.
No. If you lose to the Heat now, you have home court.
Wait, okay. What do you mean? What do you think will happen if they lose?
It'll be a disappointment.
People will say lost opportunity.
But
you guys already painted the picture earlier in the show where the Celtics lose this series. It's like, oh, man, that was a nice run. That was unexpected. But you know what? We have a dynasty coming up. This is, as you said, the best team of all time. You got Tatum. You got Brown. You have Marcus Smart has figured things out. You have all this stuff. So it's going to be even better. And we're just going to make the finals every single year. That's the conversation that's going to happen if they lose to the Heat. There isn't going to be this anger.
Yeah, but so you walked in full of, vim and vigor when you were mad. So you're mad at me for saying that this is already a dynastic organization.
Well, I just say that it turns, like every time somebody says that, it turns in a hurry. Like the people were saying about the 2018 Red Sox, and Bogarts re-signs. He's got, you have Mookie, you have Benintendi, you have Bogarts, you have Sale, you have all these guys.
Well, then you had a trash can and a cheating scandal.
Well, but that's my point.
That's a pretty rare occurrence.
But every time somebody says something like this, unless you have Tom Brady playing the most important position in all of sports.
Well, that's what I've been saying about everything for the last 8 years, is that Brady is a dynasty and he's still going.
Yes. I mean, there is no other dynamic. There is no more important position or player than the quarterback of an NFL team. It's just completely different.
But the best player on a basketball team is pretty close.
But you need, for a good basketball team, this is what we've seen, that you need three of them.
Well, you can be a good basketball team with the best player in the world. You don't need much more.
You can be good, but you can't be great.
Right. And my point is that in my lifetime, you're a basketball coach. You know the sport as well as anybody.
Yes, I dominated.
I'm 38. So I wasn't alive when Bird was drafted. Since that point, the lovely 90s through the 2000s, where you had Paul Pierce trying to bring in a guy or two to win a title, it was never the feeling like you were at the beginning of a prolonged run of dominance. Right now, they have that opportunity. That's my point.
You know, but here's another time where we thought that with the Celtics, honestly, was the Gordon Hayward Kyrie press conference.
Right. And that was accurate. I think Gordon Hayward doesn't get injured, things happen.
But that's my point, is that I have no proof, no scientific proof that you're wrong, but I'm saying that usually when you think it's going to happen like this, it rarely does for whatever reason. In that case, you know, who knew that Gordon Hayward was going to absolutely, like, wreck his ankle?
Right.
And who knew that Kyrie was a lunatic?
But what if I said today the Yankees should give 10 years, $380 million to Aaron Judge, and then tomorrow he blew out his knee? Would you say that was a dumb idea? No, you would just say that's the random luck of sports.
Yeah, sure, but you also have to you don't run isolations for outfielders.
No, but the other thing is that I don't think people who thought Danny was brilliant for bringing those two guys together were wrong. It just certain acts of God occur and you can't overcome them.
Right, you are correct. He was not wrong, they were not wrong.
Right.
But we all thought, and we have plenty of sound bites on this station saying, I want Tatum out of town, and it wasn't that long ago. Because believe me, we did the post on the website.
That was my whole point. Merlody, you said, how dare I bring up Wiggy? It was everybody.
I'm sick of Jason Tatum.
That's what I was saying. This is unexpected. Well, it's
Wiggy's
incredible.
Colon is perfectly clean after Ireland.
All right, so if you want to spin it to your crazy conversations, your prerogative to be wrong. But you look at Curtis's point, the 2001 Patriots, that's the most surprising one that we've ever had, right?
Yep.
But nobody is going to say, well, this is the greatest team of all time. It took 2 years for that to happen, and it happened not because of that team.
Let's go to Alex in Connecticut on this subject. Hi, Alex.
Hey, so, I think the 2013 Sox aren't getting enough attention in this kind of unexpected conversation. I think coming off of the Valentine year, which was just a disaster in all aspects, and, you know, as soon as you turn into the 2013 team, you're looking at guys like Salta Lavacchia and Middlebrooks and guys who shouldn't be playing in a World Series, and they come out and take it anyway. Appreciate your thoughts. Thanks.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good one. You had Koji Uehara, the closer, one of the best closers of all time, pitch a sixth inning of opening day. You had three or four guys in front of them. You had no expectations. You had a bunch of 30-year-olds that were signed in 1- and 3-year contracts. And all of a sudden, it just worked. So, yeah, that was surprising. But I don't think anyone – the difference is that I don't think anyone was going to say, well, the 2013, you won, and now it's going to be a dynasty. Like, nobody thought that. Mm. Like, no. Zero.
No. But this team is a little different. Curtis is right. You have two young stars who it feels like you're going to have a core of those two in the NBA where all you need is a couple to build around for 5 years.
Well, had all these years, Ken, where they were teammates, but they weren't clicking. And now that they're clicking, we think that they're going to want to separate. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. Before you get out of here, of course, you're on later today for pregame with Barrett.
Sure. Okay. Yes, I am.
Anything else to plug? You're on to Chicago this week.
Going to Chicago this week.
With David Ortiz? No, with Joe Kelly.
Yeah. Joe Kelly is already in Chicago.
Yeah, he works for the White Sox. I saw him in the bullpen.
He works there. There you go. We're having a party in Chicago. If you're in Chicago, Monday night party. Baseball's important.
Go to Chicago Cut. Best steakhouse I've been to in a long time.
All right. Well, there you go. All right.
Thanks for coming by, Rob.
All right. Good job, guys.
That is the Bradfoe Show.
All right. A little tension
This is Kenny Curtis. It's a little tension. Well, this is what happens. I mean, God, who made me manager? This is a horrible idea.
Okay, well.
That was out of nowhere, by the way.
Let's get the trending. And next, can we get to Greg Bedard? Because I want to set Curtis off.
I love it. I love Greg Bedard. What a nice gentleman.
And Danny from Quincy hasn't called yet, so we'll put the bat signal out to him. But here's Dr. Nick. Because he's got to call. I mean, you know he's going to call when we start getting
I'll be in charge of the phones then.
All right, time for trending.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
I don't want to make a huge deal out of this yet, because let's keep in mind, this is a completely new regime on the offensive side of the ball. They could be doing things a different way, and there could be a lot of people who aren't used to the new way things are going to be done, and maybe they might be better. I'm allowing for that. But so far, I mean, I have countless people who have either been with the Patriots or are hearing from players on the team who they are alarmed to this point, and they've barely done anything so far, Trenny. And so they are really worried about the direction of the offense, where this is going, especially off of what a lot of people heard. A lot of people around the NFL listened to what Joe Judge said the other day, and almost all of them were like, what? What is he talking about? And so there is a high level of concern about what's going on with the Patriots.
Well, that is Greg Bedard. Was that with Trenny on where? Boston Sports Tonight or just NBC Sports
Boston? Yeah, NBC Sports Boston, one of those
early edition
programs.
So sounding the alarm, the Joe Judge alarm, which you are all over. You've been sounding the Joe Judge alarm for months. Bedard is late to this party.
Right.
But he is citing countless sources.
Right. Okay, this is my issue. Listen, this is where people get into trouble, where I get thrown into the bag with all these Bedards who are like,
you and Bedard.
Curtis, you and Bedard. No.
Like-minded again.
Okay, I enjoy our sister station morning show, Boomer and Geo. It's a very nice listen occasionally when I'm walking Pudge over the weekend, whatever. And I listened to them for the entirety of two football seasons absolutely destroy Joe Judge. Not because they wanted to. After year one, Geo believed in him. He's like, you know what? I like where this team's going, whatever. They wanted to keep him. John Mara wanted to retain him. He was going to be retained. Joe Judge lost his job not because of what happened on the field, but what he said off of it. That is how big of a boob this guy is. He had a job, and he had too much pride to just allow things to occur. He had to defend himself and do these asinine things. So, anyway, I've been ahead of this curve because I've watched it. Secondly, Greg Bedard, if you have, quote, countless people, put a name to it.
Yeah.
A single name. One. Why don't you do that? Why can't you do that? You're not getting this in the Globe or the Herald. It's on Boston Sports Journal. It's not exactly a bastion of journalistic integrity. Like,
but in this case, it's on NBC Sports Boston.
Okay, so if I'm Trenny, or if I'm Tom Curran,
give me a name. Who are you hearing this
give
from?
Me, you don't have to give me the countless. Give me
it
a
wasn't,
name.
It wasn't direct sourcing, though. So it's like he's saying.
But who do you hear from?
Hearing it from people who heard it from players or former people, or, you know, it's very vague.
You know, in general, I think that, you know, we have a lot of fun here, but if you wouldn't write it, you shouldn't say it. And that's just the way it is. And if you wouldn't write that in a story, then why are you reporting it blindly on the TV?
But do you believe it?
Countless? What does that mean, countless?
Forget about countless. The overall message that there is panic, there is worry about the current state of affairs. The Joe Judge, he's the quarterback's coach, right? We don't even know that he's calling plays.
But here's my issue with that report. Anybody who watched Joe Judge last year knew who he was. So then, if you're an NFL exec, right? Let's say you run the Packers, whatever, you're on their staff, and you watch the NFC last year, you see how Joe Judge is unceremoniously fired because of making an ass of himself in front of the media, and then he begins his career in New England making an ass of himself in front of the media. Why would you be shocked by that? If you're an observer of the NFL, it's just the continuing the pattern of who he is.
Yeah.
And we all knew entering that press conference that Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, one or the other, was going to be in charge of the offense. Did we not?
And at best, both are unknowns in that capacity.
Right. You could
total
easily.
Unknowns.
Everybody makes the case to me. I disagree with it, but they say that Josh McDaniels did other positions. He failed with the Broncos and the Rams, and he came back here and he won Super Bowls as the offensive coordinator, albeit with Tom Brady. I understand all those points.
Yeah.
But the way in which that is being delineated and the people he's citing, none of them should have been surprised. If you are a member of the NFL, if you're a coach, a scout, or an executive, and you saw how Joe Judge was fired, my guess is you know how he got fired. You heard his press conferences. So then he begins his career with the Patriots sounding exactly as he did with the Giants, and they're scared and they're confused?
Yeah.
Like, now, you need to explain that to me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Now, so Patricia and Judge, when Mike Reese is reporting it, as he did, a week and a half ago, that basically their voices are the loudest, it's pretty clear they're going to have major hands in this.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, Bedard's at it. What his reporting is basically based on Reese's reporting a continuation of that.
Well,
right?
This is continuing a trend for Bedard, which he did with Wickersham all the time. I would talk with Seth Wickersham occasionally.
Yeah.
I'd reach out. He'd ask me a question or two about, you know, people that are around the team. And you would get an understanding. You saw that we had the information during that snowstorm a couple years ago before he had that huge report, which is still shaped the way the Guerrero, Brady, Belichick era ended. Like, we all had an understanding of that was about to go to print. Well, Bedard has been a similar ally of Seth Wickersham's. So what he does is he goes on the radio or he goes on TV and he acts like it's his own reporting when he's just drafting behind someone else who actually did the work. So I'd like to hear that one more time if we can. I want to hear exactly what he said and why he can't name a single person who related this news to him.
I don't want to make a huge deal out of this yet, because let's keep in mind, this is a completely new regime on the offensive side of the ball. They could be doing things a different way, and there could be a lot of people who aren't used to the new way things are going to be done, and maybe they might be better. I'm allowing for that. But so far, I mean, I have countless people who have either been with the Patriots or are hearing from players on the team who they are alarmed to this point, and they've barely done anything so far, Trenny. And so they are really worried about the direction of the offense, where this is going, especially off of what a lot of people heard. A lot of people around the NFL listened to what Joe Judge said the other day, and almost all of them were like, what? What is he talking about? And so there is a high level
of people around
the
NFL.
The Patriots.
So he says a lot of people around the NFL heard him and said, huh, what is he talking about?
About when he's talking about their identity or lack, you know, not committing to what his role is or whatever.
I call complete and total BS on that. Total BS.
It's probably just like media members, right?
Well, but that's not people around the NFL. That's a media member.
Yeah. Countless people.
And you can't say countless and not cite a single name. And yes, I believe that people on and around the team, you know, would be alarmed
They've
about this.
They've got to be skeptical on some level.
But that wasn't related to what he said. It was related to the... I mean, you and I, Ken, I mean, we haven't done a show a lot. We've been, each of us, on vacation at different times. But when this news broke that it was going to be Judge or Patricia, when I got the text from the guy that would know, we both were like, yeah, that's a bad idea. But that's been in the people that cover the team and the league have known that for weeks.
Yeah. The only thing new this week was Joe Judge's press conference.
So then why would that, if you were around the NFL, why would that be alarming to you?
Just what he said, I guess, or what he didn't say. But Tommy Curran sort of echoed this. So now, do you put any extra credence, Curtis, in what Curran said? Here's, listen to that.
I would echo that. There is concern. And I think it's concern that we've kind of trod upon this ground a little bit in saying, okay, well, you can't have too many chefs. We understand that when you have Josh McDaniels, there's an institutional knowledge that's there where you can just, okay, we're going to pivot to this. We've seen this before. We understand how to do this. If there's an open audition or competition to see who the play caller is going to be, and we all understand that the play caller rides sidecar with the quarterback and is at his side at all times, and they share a philosophy and a way of doing things, same with the quarterback's coach, well, then if the offensive coordinator is somebody different and doesn't share the same viewpoint, then we're having too many different cooks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what Tom's saying there is that he echoes the concern. I feel like it'd be weird if there wasn't someone who was concerned about the Patriots offense without Josh McDaniels and with Joe Judge in charge. Totally agree. But the 3-4 alarm fire that Bedard is reporting on, I feel like has been out for weeks.
Now, now OTAs start Monday. If players get in.
Belichick talks Monday, by the way, 11 a.m.
Well, that'll be interesting. Will he address, he won't talk about Judge's role or Patricia's role.
You know, speaking as someone who actually had opinions and asked Bill Belichick to his face my questions, I would expect that Greg Bedard on Monday will be at Gillette Stadium and he will tell him that he has heard from, quote, countless people.
People are concerned, Bill. Countless people.
I mean, right? I mean, and I would hope that there would be further reporting from Bedard, from those people. You can't say countless and then hide behind it. Like,
what?
That's a lot of people. What is countless? Dozen? I mean, how would you deem countless?
Yeah, Baker's dozen.
So you're over 12, over 10. You're in double digits of people that have relayed the same exact thing independently. I find that incredibly hard to believe.
I don't know. I mean, it depends what you define as, people around the team.
But this is what sucks for our industry, because it's like, yes, I'm concerned. You'd be a fool, in my opinion, to not be concerned.
Yeah.
But when you have a guy like that go out, I mean, report just off his ass. Like, it's so... Why not, instead of saying countless, give us the one person who would put his name next to it? That's a far more meaningful report.
Yeah. Now, if the reports mean more period, after a week or two, right? If after the players are there and they actually are living it and going through drills, I know it's OTAs, it's not like high-level, you know, mandatory minicamp stuff, but then you'll actually get to see this thing take shape next week, and then if there's people squawking, that's a big-time concern.
Of course, and I mean, you know what? I think there will be growing pains this year, just like there was last year.
Yep.
We all cite the Devin McCourty comments following the overtime loss to the Cowboys at home, where he was talking about not being in the right position, whatever it was at the time. That will be far more concerning, and obviously I'm concerned. I don't think you're being an honest person if you don't look at the Patriots' offensive coaching staff and say, what the hell are they doing with their most important asset?
Now, a little theory for you as to what's happening here. When you got mad at me on the Greg Hill Show, and we filled in once, where I was trying to explain what the Patriots' plan was on the offensive staff. You wouldn't even let me finish.
I'm in a much more calm place as I about to enter fatherhood.
Yeah, it's the weekend. We're here in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. You're getting closer to fatherhood. I mean, yep. it's a more chill atmosphere.
And it's beautiful. You know what? I think it's smart to do the roads right now because it looks good.
So to reiterate, my belief is, and it was probably further accentuated this week with the whole Saban drama going on there. That is a weird thing with Saban and Jimbo.
God, is Nick Saban a horse's ass?
But Bill O'Brien's going to jump in a year. Very good chance he jumps to New England.
Yep.
I think that's Bill's plan long term. So this year, it's kind of an all-hands-on-deck approach on offense until Bill gets here. Judge, Patricia are going to share it for sure. They're the veteran guys. And a good theory that Kyrie Thompson had, who's going to be our new Patriots beat guy starting tomorrow or Monday, that what if this is all a smokescreen by Bill and Nick Caley is actually the play caller, but he doesn't want anybody to know that or put pressure on Caley. So instead of naming him or putting him in the spotlight at all, he throws Judge and Patricia to the wolves because he knows the media will eat that up. And it doesn't matter because when they actually start camp, it's Caley calling the plays.
To be fair, I don't know when Kyrie said that, but last weekend I said this to Andy Hart. I said it was like the Cam Newton situation. And then Andy Hart wrote an entire column saying it was like the Cam Newton situation without crediting me once, but that's fine. That could be the case, but I do think that that would be a very revealing desire by Belichick that would show how in the head the media is, which is something that I would fear he would not want to
normally
open about.
He doesn't go that to those lengths,
right?
But he'll do what's best for the football team.
So would Patricia fire himself like he did with Cam?
Yeah, I think he would.
Hey, Matt, I need you to do me a favor. Can you tell Patricia he's fired?
Go in a side office. Yeah, don't talk to me. Just fire yourself.
Listen, I would put it past Bill. I mean, Bill's a smart guy. I would hope that he knows those guys are boobs, but it really does feel a little Raider-esque to me that you have this old, you know, football god in a way when Al Davis, you know, years and years removed from being good at it, but
yep.
Bill more close to his latest title, but you have a guy that's just basically setting up his house in the exact way he wants with people who won't question him. He's drafting a guy in the first round that will be right there. He's just going to stand and hit the guy in front of him. You're not going to have any problems off the field. It seems like he's trying to prevent headaches and set up the future of his family and his friends the best way possible, which, if I'm Robert Kraft, I'd probably have a problem with.
Speaking of family and friends, Danny and Quincy. Hello, Danny.
Well, I figured I'd have to call up and change Curtis's calm, cool, calm, collective fatherhood to be
yeah.
mood.
Well, yeah, get him going.
His name's going to be Danny.
No, but Curtis, both of you actually said it. So the series is tied. They lost the first game, and now it's over?
Yes.
It's over.
I feel like it's over. I do.
Curtis, you didn't even give him a shot to beat Milwaukee. You had him out against Milwaukee.
That's true. That is true.
And now it's over at 1-1.
Okay, I'll stop having opinions after the one opinion I had was wrong.
Justify it. That's all I'm saying. Justify
it. So you think they're going to lose the series, Danny?
Reactionary. Oh, God. The media.
Danny, do you think they're going to lose the series?
Two games.
Danny, do you think they're going to lose the series?
Okay. Let me qualify.
It's very simple. No, don't qualify it. I'm asking you a simple question. No. Do you think the Celtics are going
to
lose the series?
Again, it's not a yes.
It's very simple.
Answer.
Yes or no? Do you think the Celtics will win the series? Yes or no? I can hang up on you now, so I'm giving you one more shot.
Shoot,
do you think the Celtics will win or lose this series?
I'm going to have a discussion with you.
Let him talk. Let him finish.
Okay, last time. Do you think they're going to win the series? Yes or no?
I got to qualify it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Come on. He didn't even get into his main point.
Okay, you get mad at me for having an opinion. I ask you to present an opinion, and you can't do it. I'm not going to
waste. Demanding with these yes and no answers. This is like your new tactic. It's like your bully tactic.
It's not a bully
yes
tactic.
Yes or no. Say yes or no. There's nuance to it.
You're trying to shame me about a yes or no opinion
but
I
he's
had.
He's making a point.
So I'm reflecting it back.
It doesn't matter what he thinks.
But the
reason, you're the talk show host.
But the reason, that's why I ask you yes or no questions. You're a great talk show host.
Yes, but I answer you, but I have some nuance to add to it. And
okay.
You like refuse
no,
to.
No, because the reason he wouldn't say an answer.
To be lawyer Curtis.
No, the reason he wouldn't say an answer is because he agrees with me that they're going to win the series.
Yes, yes.
So what's the point? That's my question. What's nuanced? You agree with me that they're going to win the series.
I agree.
And yes. So did Danny, and that's why he wouldn't give an answer. So instead of wasting everybody's time for 10 minutes and have them yell about nonsense.
He's pointing out you were horribly wrong on the Celtics last series. You thought they'd lose to the Bucks.
Right. I've been wrong on a million different things.
What has dramatically changed your opinion against the Heat?
My opinion of the Bucks was very high. They were the defending NBA champions with the MVP, the reigning MVP in Giannis.
Heat are the number one seed.
The Heat are the number one seed. Yes, I don't fear them. I don't fear the Heat the same way I feared the Bucks. I might be wrong, but I feel like the rest of the NBA agrees with me.
Yeah.
When it comes to
I
the
do.
Series, because the Celtics are favored and they're expected to go to the final and they're expected to play the Golden State Warriors, and that's what I expect will happen.
Unless Kyle Lowry comes back, unless he comes back, and which he might. He was, I don't know. He's questionable or. He was questionable. Nick, is there any update on the Lowry situation? Check in on that.
Because the guy's he's still listed as questionable.
Okay.
They have not
ESPN
put up the
had him as out,
yet.
But he was upgraded.
I mean, with all due respect, Ken, that'd be like me saying to you that you can't have another opinion on anything because you said the Red Sox were going to go 162-0.
Oh, here we go. Straight off the beat from Ira Winderman, who is the Heat beat reporter for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, which is a liberal paper, which I know you don't like, Curtis.
What?
But anyway.
Where are we getting into politics?
Well, I used to cite the South Florida Sun Sentinel all the time during COVID times, and you got upset.
I don't think I've ever mentioned the South Florida Sun Sentinel in my life.
Well, we did. We got into some desperate times during COVID.
Okay, I blocked
anyway,
those out.
Anyway, Ira says, per Spoelstra, Kyle Lowry and P.J. Tucker will warm up tonight with the intention to play.
Yeah, and he wrote April Fools.
Now, that is a big deal. That is a big deal there.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so Lowry and Tucker back. That ratchets it up. So let's get back into this. Coming up next, Curtis, here on the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio Edition. Here until 1 o'clock. Andy Hart and Nick Fitzy-Stevens after us.
Love it.
Lowry and Tucker likely in tonight. Is this now a series? Could this dramatically change it, or is it
what
over?
Are you talking about? It's 1-1. It's clearly a series. You said the Celtics weren't good on December 16th.
617-779-7937 is Ken and Curtis.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Ken and Curtis coming to you live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio on Lansdowne Street, crossing the House of Blues here until, well, Andy Hart will be in until 3:10 pregame today, and then Brian Barrett has you. And we'll be down here before every weekend home game this year for the rest of the way, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Ford Trucks, official truck of the Red Sox. Kyle Lowry and P.J. Tucker likely in tonight. That is the report, at least from the Heat coach Eric Spoelstra, who says they will warm up with the intention to play. So, Curtis, you think the series is over. I think the series is over. But could Lowry swing the series in a different direction than we both are expecting? I think that is worth exploring, at least for a minute here. I mean, he's 35, but so is Horford. It's not like he's over the hill.
I honestly can't tell you. I know a lot about how Kyle Lowry's been playing or if he'll add much tonight. I have complete faith that the Celtics will win tonight at the Garden. I have no fear that they're going to win.
He's their point guard. He basically frees up Jimmy Butler to be off the ball a lot more. He averaged 34 minutes and 14 points a game this year. He shoots 37% from three. I mean, he is a good player. You saw him in Toronto for a lot of years.
But what percentage is going to be health-wise? Is he likely not 100%, my guess.
Hamstring.
I guess I'll have to see. I mean, this is interesting. I mean, it shows the desperation of the Heat that they don't think that they can win it as currently constituted, so
good work.
Why not?
Got to rush him back.
Yep.
Which may be the case. So if the Celtics win tonight, I guess you can't say it's over then either, technically, because then all the Heat need is a split here to feel good about themselves.
And I'd love to hear from people around the league, because yesterday I don't feel like I heard a lot of high confidence speculation that they were going to have Lowry in Game 3. Did you?
No. I mean, first he was ruled out. Then they put him up to questionable. And he's trying it. So, I mean, you could be right. He could be pushing it just based on desperation.
I mean, and this is another case. So if they play tonight and Lowry doesn't play well, isn't that even a further, you know, deflating of their bubble that, like, okay, we played our best hand and now we still can't even get past. We're down 2-1.
Yep.
And if I'm them, maybe why wouldn't you, I guess you play him in game four if you lose tonight, so why not get him in tonight? But maybe, I don't know. It seems desperate.
Also an update from Derek White, who missed game two. He was asked about leaving to join his wife for the birth of their child. Once I found out she was in labor, I tried to get on the first flight. He has already changed our lives, according to Derek, just sitting with him watching the game, .. So he's back, I guess, presumably tonight, but congratulations to the White family, who took a little bit of heat, but not too much.
Yeah,
not too much.
I didn't see anything on Twitter.
A couple fans popped off that were just, you know, caught up.
The only person who sounded dumber about paternity leave this week than those fans was Wiggy on the Greg Hill Show, saying that you only should be there for the actual birth, and then he should be back to work the next day. I mean, come on.
It appears their son's name is Hendrix, by the way. Like the Jimi Hendrix spelling.
Oh, I was going to say great. Like the gin.
That's awesome.
Purple haze tonight. I was very when I first saw the report, I saw a bunch of media people be like, oh, here comes the dumb Celtic fan takes, and I was heartened by the fact that there was very little of that out there.
And we've been talking about a little bit about Joe Judge this hour. You cut off Danny from Quincy. Very unfair.
Oh my god.
But Matt in Rhode Island wants to weigh in on that, so we will let him do so. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? So, okay, we don't know who's calling the plays, but we do know Joe Judge is going to be working with Mac Jones, the quarterback, right?
Yeah, he pretty much admitted that. Yep, he's working with his footwork and everything else.
Yeah. All right, well, that in and of itself is a bad decision. Joe Judge brings no value added to the offensive side of the ball. If you bring him in here to replace that special teams coach, that's great. But let me just give you some background. On last year with the Giants, when they fired Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator, Joe Judge and Kitchens took over as co-offensive coordinators. Coming into the last game, the meaningless game, the owner of the Giants, said he was going to give Joe Judge a third year. He didn't want to get him out of there in 2 years. In that last game, they're calling QB sneaks, which has probably never happened in the NFL, calling a QB sneak when you're not actually trying to, like, get a first down. But QB sneaks was, like, third and 12. You know, he did two QB sneaks. And after the game, Joe Judge went to the presser, and he's just full of nonsense. He's full of, you know, hardo coach speak nonsense. He acts like he can call this up, and he pulls a QB sneak in a meaningless game. What kind of offensive minds are you bringing in that can do that and, like, actually want to argue with people about that was the right decision? It's a disaster. I quite frankly, not a big fan of Matt Patricia, but, like, most likely rather have him there. As far as Kaylee, sorry to go on and on like this, but I don't think they're putting up a smoke screen to protect Kaylee. I mean, ultimately, it's the NFL. Like, if you can't man up and, like, take the pressure, you're probably not going to be in that position. But that's just my opinion. Thanks, guys.
Well, Matt, it's a great point, a lot of great points in there. But the biggest one is that in the game, in the press conference following the game where he took the knees from inside his own 15, he said, quote, "We don't quit. We never give up." So he was standing in front of the New York media saying, "We don't quit," after quitting over and over again in front of the whole world. And that's when he was fired. Like, but that brings me to Joe Judge. His final scene in New York was the press conference following the final game of the year when he had taken knees on third down in the third quarter of a football game. He said that he never quits. So the same people that are panicking about the presence of Joe Judge in the Patriots coaching staff watch that, and now they're concerned? Like, it doesn't make any sense. You knew who Joe Judge was. He showed the world. He showed the world to the point that John Mara had to fire him.
But why do you think Bill is doing it? Seriously.
Because he wants people he likes. It's, you know how in the movie Good Will Hunting, why Will is surrounded by guys that would take a bullet for him. Like, he's never challenged. He's in this cocoon. And he feels burdened by the ability that he has, that he should be applying himself more than just sticking with his local buddies. He's outgrown.
But that's not that weird. That's what most people do, right? It's not that abnormal. People act like Bill is, like, sabotaging the team. He's just doing what most people would do, surround themselves with people they know and trust.
Right. And the issue is that Bill Belichick has spent the last 21, 22 years saying he's doing things in, quote, the best interest of the football team. This is not. That's why people are mad.
It's in his best interest.
Right.
It's in the best interest of him.
Not the team.
Which is the team. I mean, really, their best asset is Bill.
Okay,
he's
so
their biggest advantage.
I love all the points Matt made, and he's dead on. So if we're talking right now, and it is February 23rd, and the Patriots know McDaniels is leaving, and we did a show, and we said, all right, who should they bring in to be the offensive coordinator? I promise you, we could have done a 15-hour radiothon. We would not have gotten a single call saying Joe Judge or Matt Patricia should be the offensive coordinator. But now that it's the case, all of these same people who think it's dumb deep down are defending it.
But who's defending it? Nobody's defending
it. Even people like Kyrie or Andy Hart are saying that, well, it's a smokescreen. There's no way it's true.
Yeah,
they're giving him the benefit of the doubt, giving him the best possible remaining outcome.
Maybe Kyrie Thompson is intel then.
Maybe. But why would they have this circus going around instead of, like, the thing that I found most surprising is that Joe Judge had 40 minutes of media availability this week.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, they get it, according to Andy Hart, they get it all out. They have requirements they have to do for the league, so they make them all available, and they bang it out, and they won't talk again until training camp.
Okay, but why do they make them available for 20-plus minutes?
You mean they should have done it for 10?
I mean,
I don't know. Serious question. There might be like he has to do 15 minutes or something.
I find that hard to believe because I don't remember any of those being that long in past. And I don't think all the coaches have the same duration. And since none of the coaches have a title, it would be hard for me to believe that they had to do it for a long period of time. Mm-hmm.
Good question. We'll ask Andy when he comes. Andy will be in here for the crossover in about an hour. I do want to get, we got Celtics game 3 tonight, Curtis.
Yep.
Eastern Conference final. Red Sox have turned a corner. Patriots still in an offseason mix, malaise, confusion, whatever it is, if you believe Greg Bedard, in panic. And you got the Bruins, who are in a very odd state. Can we get 5 Bruins minutes just about the state of Bruce Cassidy?
Why is he fired?
Why they haven't fired him? Like, what is going on with the Bruins?
Let's do it.
And we'll do that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.